Welcome to Ever Beyond on Free Thinking Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Good evening. Welcome to Ever Beyond one more time from the rainiest Scotland August, Scottish August that I've ever seen, and I've seen 14 so far, and this is the rainiest. There's absolute flooding, you know. Luckily we live on the top of a hill, and we don't get too affected by the floods unless the unless we're having to travel into town, whereupon it's completely flooded. All the roads are like hydroplaning all the way. So we're experiencing some really unusually wet and drizzly weather, as opposed to my dear friend Roger, who's out in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
How you doing, JP? Yeah, Wisconsin. That's how the local folk pronounce that around here. You
as,
know.
As in skanky.
Yeah, you might want to call it that. Just a tad bit. But, yeah, we have some humidity going on around here. We've got the heat as usual. The months of July and August, they term the dog days of summer in these parts. And I cannot wait for fall.
It's too hot.
Yes, it is. Very much so. And people are saying, well, we would like to have fall already, but we know it comes after that. And a lot of people just don't like driving in the snow, and a lot of people don't like the cold. I'm kind of a cold kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I love the cold weather. You know, you can always keep enough on to keep warm, but you can never remove enough clothing to cool off unless you have air conditioning, you know.
Unless you can peel your skin off or something like that.
Right, even then, yeah. You know.
The yeah. Shades of V. And here we are. We also have Chris Noonan, our beloved Irish reporter in London.
Good
Chris,
evening.
He's back.
He's been bloop blooping, and that was what all that bloop blooping was.
Yes, some of my own technical problems. No, good evening. I thought you were going to say leprechaun there for a second, but But yes, all is well here from the Illuminati financial capital of the United Kingdom. All is well so far.
So we're also going to be joined later by Dave Corso and Brian Internosia. But in the meantime, aside from discussing the weather, let's talk about the esoteric weather, the energies that are moving, the things that we have been watching over the last few years. Those of us who have been awake and aware have been watching the unfolding and the unraveling of the economic system, the banking system, and all of the realities behind what we thought was government but now turns to be a corporatocracy. So I think the first topic is the let's sit back, fold our arms, and say, we told you so. What do you think, Roger?
Yeah, I would have to say we've told you so. And I guess we'll have to wait to see how things are going to pan out on Wall Street tomorrow here in the United States, mm-hmm. As opposed to globally. What's going to happen globally? I do believe that China is the new monetary superpower, along with London and your guys' neck of the woods. But I will go on record to say that intuitively, when I was younger, back in 87, I do remember if I remember correctly, it was Black Friday. We had a case of Black Friday. We saw a little bit of the stock market crash, just a tad bit. But somehow instinctively, I knew that was only a precursor, a test run for what is happening now.
So we could end up with Black August or Black September.
Right. They're saying... we got an echo. Okay. It doesn't sound
there
like
we go.
No. All right. So they're terming tomorrow to be... They're saying that tomorrow is going to be a Black Monday as opposed to a Black Friday.
Ooh. So... So this is going to be a very interesting week in terms of many, many things. Not only have we got an economic situation going on. Actually, Chris, have you got any additional thoughts on the "We Told You So"?
Yeah, I feel as Roger said intuitively that for those out there, I was going to say minions, but that would be a little bit too rough. It's not going to be just an "I told you so" that is currently taking place. It's going to be quite a large kind of slap up back side of the head, kind of parent style, universal style. In terms of a financial event which is happening, just a massive tipping point, just putting out kind of psyops events to one side. I really feel, as Raj said intuitively, that it's as we kind of discussed, within the last 24 hours, Roger used the term, kind of like death pangs, and that's what I also feel, which is currently happening. There is a panic which is going on in London and in Wall Street. It's not exactly MSM, mainstream media. It's trickling like that. I think we are in over our heads. I feel it is really, really, really bad. Especially when you've got, the new kings on the block, China, pointing the finger at the States and saying, you guys better pull up your socks. The world needs a new global reserve currency, and that is something when I hear, we need a new global reserve currency, that makes me quiver a bit for the simple reason that is going to manifest on certain levels, and kind of countries are kind of, up against each other like that as well. It's like, you got two guys hoisting up against each other. You've got China pointing the finger, the States, you guys got to do this, and US is like, who do you think you're talking to? It's not a great thing. At the same time, with all of these financial instances that are happening, people should really be aware of that and check out the financial pages. I mean, a lot of this stuff, and we discussed before, Jeremy, with one of our special guests, an AFC Mardi, live from London, that if people could only keep an eye a lot more what is happening in the financial pages, because it's starting at that kind of that base route with the banks, with the bankers, with the corporations, who's buying who and whatnot, and it kind of trickles up onto the kind of the greater and macro scale. Well, that kind of sets things afoot and manifests then on the physical plane. As we have discussed before, it's not exactly a group of politicians who kind of set the stance for wars happening. It actually begins financially. It has in the present, and it has in the past. So I'm quite tense. I'm quite apprehensive of what's going to happen. But just going back to my initial point, there is going to be an even bigger, massive a blip of an I told you so that is just around the corner. This fiat currency is it's on its last legs. It's on it's on its death pangs, and going into that new paradigm, it's not going to be pretty, unfortunately.
Fleecing is the word that comes to mind, really. Mm. The bankers have already let us know through various leaked documents and through what they've said themselves that when they do one of these things, when one of these things apparently happens, it's actually a way for them to earn money, to make money, to create money by deflating the reality of money, saying, oh, where's all that money gone? Don't know. Let's print a few trillion more.
Yeah.
And off comes the printing presses. And what that is, in fact, it's a secret tax. It's a stealth tax because they're taking money from you by diluting the value of your currency that already exists.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's kind of come out, in the past while, and since kind of the mass recession of 2008 onwards as well, we have this thing which is called credit default swaps, and people really out there should become a lot more familiar with credit default swaps. We have up to 600 trillion in the world right now, and nobody knows on paper or verbose or whatever who owns these credit default swaps out there in the world. There are up to and over 600 trillion of them lying there waiting. If something like that was triggered, that would actually, and this is not made up, this actually exists. There would be an absolute, not a a global economic meltdown, it would be an absolute catastrophe, and I wouldn't like to think of the results as a result of that. And this is even more reason why people should be paying close attention, becoming more awake and more aware as to what the heck is going on, what the governments are doing with people's money, and asking the real questions, and literally baying for blood in the terms of audit. Audit the Fed, audit the Bank of England, who are the Bank of England nominees, more questions, ask questions, demand answers, simply.
Mm-hmm. So much for the end of civilization as we know it. What about the beginning of a new civilization as we know it?
I would like to chime in and speak a little bit about... All right. Sam Muggsy and I actually had a private phone conversation a few weeks back, and she was telling me about how Benjamin Fulford and the White Hats and a couple other people that she knows are part of this new republic that are waiting in the wings right now, with supposedly $3.9 trillion in actual gold to... put into the global economy or the American economy, something of that sort. They're just sitting around waiting for the powers at work to run out of their digitized monetary system. So, Chris, do you have any more information on that or about that, the Republic?
I don't have any current information about the Republic. Probably only as much as you would, Raj, or as Jeremy would. But kind of just going back kind of quickly to what Jeremy was saying, just in response to what he was saying about the new civilization. What we're currently in is the pre-new kind of civilization, kind of the movement into that paradigm where everything is it's kind of crumbling. It's pretty tough. birth pangs. It's really rough, and kind of moving into the, you know, kind of the post new civilization, or kind of moving into that particular area. I mean, I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I mean that is something. I mean, it's fearful to a lot of people. It's that fear of the unknown. It's like, what's going to happen? Kind of work. Other jobs, and what would the currency system would be like? Essentially, people want to know, will I survive? Will my family survive? Will there be food to eat in this new civilization? Because face it, like a lot of things could just hit the floor and people would be starting from scratch in a new civilization. That is one of the realities of it.
Well, here we go. One of the things that I mean, the first thing that's going to happen is that we are going to run out of money, of money as we know it. Then people are going to get hungry. And then, hopefully, people will start thinking. And this will be the moment when they start transcending or going beyond their current limitations of thought. Because it's amazing how creative you get when you're hungry.
Precisely, but there are people out there who are not going to be able to survive this, because they feel that all they are is money, all they are is what they were told they were, little indentured financial slaves to the big wheel, if you will, to the machine. Many people out there, and I know of plenty of them right now, friends, family, and whomever. At this point in time, they cannot fathom a world without money.
Exactly. They can't imagine the world any different from the way it is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I do.
Oh, so do I.
And I've been trying to create that for the last 10, 15 years, really. I've been looking for people who can see the same as I do, that this whole thing's going to go to shit, and, you know, we need to have some other ideas. Now, I've been involved with the LET system, and I'm quite vocal about that. I've been talking about that. And I'm also talking with local people now, and we're talking about how can we create an abundant community. Really, honestly, I have no desire for power other than the power over my own life. I don't require to be adulated or honored by tens, dozens, thousands of people. Just all I want to do is hang out, play my guitar. Really, to be honest. So, within the paradigm of how people are at the moment, we, again, this is going back to I told you so, we, you and I and Chris and probably people who listen to this program have been talking to our friends and family, and we've been marginalized. We've been the ones who are like idiots for even thinking this kind of thing. Mm. And yet, we can do nothing but see it coming.
We can't see anything. And you try to explain this to people.
Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, sorry about that. I didn't realize I was speaking over you. Right, and you're explaining this to people saying, look, you know, I see. We all see this for what it is. It's so damn transparent. How can you not see it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, I feel it's one of those situations where we must bring it back to base. Simplicity is key in a lot of things in life, even from a music point of view as well. Why go with an incredibly complicated guitar piece when you can have kind of something which is kind of more simple and melodious and kind of easy on the ear and whatnot? And that occurs on many levels. And Jeremy, you know, a couple of the things, you know, the topics on this evening's show, this is about, you know, a new civilization in terms of, you know, living healing, you know, trading and communication. I mean, what we're kind of talking about here, first and foremost, is the living aspect as well. It's, you know, how do we eat? Essentially, how do we survive? And just what comes to me straight away is that we've got to think and got to get more simple with our ways of living. And what we eat, and many things like that. Essentially, just keeping it on a specific level to ride out and to survive and get along with this big shift that is occurring. Simplicity is essentially key.
Right. And now, you know what? I just had a thought pop into my head here also. For those of us who were being shunned and laughed at and what have you for saying the things we've said about what's coming, I find that those who are going to be able to deal with the changeover, with the transition, who don't know exactly how to get along and or survive, will be coming to those people who foresaw this thing coming. I mean, in just my personal case alone, I've never been rich ever in my life. I've lived from paycheck to paycheck. I know how it's like. I've been homeless on the streets, and it feels like everything that I have lived in my life and experienced up until now has prepared me for what is coming now.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, I would like to let folks know that I'm trying to find a decent free file storage online for it's a file over a gigabyte that I have full of survival information on CPR, building your own shelters, army medical PDFs, instructions on how to make your own candles and things of that sort. It's a lot of information, and people ask, well, if we have a big electromagnetic pulse, well, what do we do? Well, you know, there are solar generators and things of that sort that you can run a little laptop on, and or print out hard copies of this stuff. Yes, you're going to go through some ink and some paper, but you know, for what you spend, and that this information will pay for itself over and over and over again.
Get one of those photocopiers. You know those laser printers that cost less than the cartridge? Just buy one of those and print them off.
Right. There's a lot of information in this file. So once I do find a respectable place to store it, I will share the link on my Facebook page and share it with you, Jeremy, Chris, so everyone can download this information and make use of it what they will.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger. I'll put this in the blog.
Okay.
Excellent. And so, do you have a website, Roger, that people can go to find this?
Actually, we are working on one right now. MaximAxiom.com. We're currently working on the website, but I am going to try to get this information uploaded to there as soon as possible.
Excellent. And this is, you'll have all this stuff sort of sorted and tied it up and easily downloadable for people.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. That's a great service that you'll be giving him.
Sure. It's all out there in torrent, but I went and I found like an extra 100, 200 megabytes to add to it just of my own. So, sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It was just to put in you know, a lovely plug, kind of just, you know, you were saying about the file storage, et cetera, and of course, as we are speaking about, you know, civilization, kind of, you know, survival, and, you know, kind of moving forward and kind of coping with a lot of stuff that is upon us as well, definitely, well, especially for the United States and Canadian listeners, even people in the UK and Ireland, do have a look at the great site, which is www.thriveonfood.com. You'll find the link for Canada there as well, and that has got a lot of very, very important things, including, you know, bug out bags, freeze-dried food, which I believe is very, very yummy, which you've tried as well, Roger. So people should really have a look at that.
Yes, I have, and folks can take a look there at www.thriveonfood.com. My friend Brian and I, well, you know Brian Internacia, he and I started this Thrive on Food website, and we are also open in Canada. It's MSG free. It's also GMO free, and very soon they will be kicking off a gluten free line. But all of the food, the freeze dried food, storable food aside, we also have camping supplies, survival gear, first aid kits, generators, you name it. So if there is anyone out there that would like more information, I can personally send you catalogs. Just send me an email, Brian or I, as a matter of fact, to info@thriveonfood.com, and we'll fix you up.
Uh-huh. Thriveonfood.com. That's a good website name.
Yeah, we thought about Thrive for Food, but it was like, no, grammatically that didn't make too much sense. So
no, Thrive is good because it's like more than surviving; it's being abundant. It's good and homely kind of thing.
Well, right, and it's also a service to others, you know.
So, Shanti Cat.
Speaking of food.
it's Bernadette in the chat room there. I don't know if you see her, but...
I invited her, yes.
Yes, it sounds like the conscious activist type of kind of contribution. Which is what you were talking about, Chris. Can you link that back? Can you remember what you were talking about?
Oh, it probably took me a moment. I think Roger wanted to kind of cut in and say something there.
No, I didn't. I was just going to say, Chris, it looked like the question was for you.
Oh, really? It would probably take me a moment to get back to that thought, because I've got so many kind of scribbles and scrawls of different bits and pieces. But as Roger was speaking, just to kind of to keep things kind of the momentum flowing, like we're kind of speaking about food as well. And Jeremy, you were saying that when stuff is kind of is boiling over, that we've got a loss of jobs and people are going to be touchy and they're going to be hungry. They're going to be hungry. I mean, money is going to go kaput, and so people are in survival mode, and they'll get, you know, kind of really creative. But there will be a certain degree of civil unrest as well. We already have something like that, you know, going on in North London at present. But I mean, if we could talk or speak about, you know, civil unrest right now, not only in the UK, but in the States. I mean, Roger, could you kind of open that with you know, kind of the possibilities of that in the States? I mean, what is currently happening kind of stateside? So there obviously seems to be some sort of preparation military-wise for when, you know, we're going to have these, like, kind of Black Mondays, Black Fridays and whatnot.
Well, you know, some of the military are waking up, some of them aren't. Some of the police force are waking up, some of them aren't. And right now is definitely a time where people are going to become more polarized, more so than before. This is much more serious than Democrat or Republican. This is going to be a struggle. It reminds me of a novel a friend of mine was writing many years ago, and it was called Forced to Survive. And that's basically what people are going to be forced to do. It's coming to pass now. But his was post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear Holocaust. No, this monetary situation right now is, I mean, the next worst thing, in my humble opinion, could be nuclear Holocaust. I feel that, you know, America is actually long overdue as far as protests. Now, I'm not saying going out and vandalizing and things of that sort, peaceful protest in the way of non-compliance. But then again, people are like, well, how can we be non-compliant when they threaten to throw us in jail if we do not pay our bills, if we do not pay our taxes and things of that sort? Well, my answer is to not be afraid. If they're going to throw you in jail, hey, at least you're going to get three hots and a cot, usually, you know, but it's just getting over the fear of them threatening you, them keeping you within a system that no longer is functioning, that is no longer serving us or them, okay? And I'm really wondering that the old way is going out now, if they have something else they're going to bring in and implement or try to implement. What say you guys on that?
Well, I just want to link that in, Roger. I think it's really interesting. You know, we're talking about kind of, you know, new civilization and that nuance, that transitionary process. And you've given us a little bit of a nugget, an aspect of yourself, Roger, which is like really brave of you to say, and you fully admitted, you know, you've experienced being, you know, being homeless and being on the street, and you kind of, you know, and going into that survival mode, and you know, you've got the aspects of food and money as well. And I really just wanted to link that in, if possible, with you for the listeners about being able to cope, about being in that survival mode. And with one of the first topics in terms of living, healing, kind of trading, communications, I mean, sticking with living, I mean, could you give, you know, the listeners some nuggets of information of, you know, what that was like for you? I mean, what you were coping, how essentially did you survive, you know, not having a place to be and, you know, not having kind of much food or much money at all? I mean, what was it like? Because I'm sure there will be people, not only people now, but, you know, in the very, very near future, who are going to be facing this similar situation that you went through.
Right. Well, wow. I could write a book about this, I guess. But, well, you know, back then, the economy was still stable enough to where I was diving out of McDonald's dumpsters, literally, for food. Any kind of fast food place I could find for food. And, of course, keeping in mind that the things on the, you know, the top were freshest, we would actually sit there and stake these things out. Stake out these dumpsters. But, you know, and then I would catch wind here and there of abandoned houses or places that I could actually set up camp for a little while until I could figure out what my next move would be.
So, Roger.
Yeah.
That's, although it may have seemed at the time to be quite a hard time, and you might have felt, you know, a bit why me and all this. Sorry, now, at this point, you're an expert in survival. You know you can do it.
Well, I shouldn't say I'm an expert, but yes, I can get by, especially being where I'm at now in the country. I just kind of feel like that my life was kind of steered and guided to be where I'm at right now in the country, because we have all sorts of wildfowl here. There are some really nice places to grow our own food. Here, unfortunately, where I reside, it's all sand country, so we would have to bring in topsoil, clay, manure, whatever, in order to see a nice yield of anything. But there are some plants around here that thrive in the sand. My roommate is actually, I'm going to have him start showing me some of these plants that are best, but, you know, and which ones to avoid. We have a crap ton of poison ivy here also. But, you know, when it's all said and done, we have all sorts of wild game here from, you know, land. We have fish. So we're actually sitting fairly good where I'm at right now. But as far as people in cities, I would definitely look into growing your own little gardens on your rooftops of your apartment buildings, inside your home even, hooking up with someone who might have some land in the city, a backyard or something, to grow a community garden, or just all in out try to get out of the city, period. Because if what happens, let's just say that I'm feeling that these riots are going to bring about martial law here in the big cities. They're trying to stick their hands into things and rule America as well at this point in time. But I really feel that martial law will be written into enactment if these riots get out of hand for fuel, water, food in cities. No one will be allowed to come in or out. We still have the FEMA camps. There's a lot that can go wrong, and I suggest that if people have the capability that they need to get the hell out of the city and hit the country somewhere. Yeah, pretty much.
Yes. Because, I mean, this is something, I care for my friends in London, Chris here and Bernadette there in the chat room. Bernadette lives at the high point on a high tower block, not a tower block, but an old council tenement block, but on the fourth floor. Bless her heart, she's got some good legs to get her up and down those stairs, because you really need them.
Right.
And she walks everywhere, but... if people get hungry, it's going to be a very difficult situation. Unless you've got some kind of way of either growing your food or storing, having a vast amount of stored food. But then you need water. You need
right.
You need some kind of fuel, some kind of way of heating your water. As long as you've got hot water, you can have a good life.
Get down.
Dave, mute your mic. Mute your mic. Thank you.
Okay.
There's Dave Corso and Brian. They're just joining the conversation here. So the main issue for me, for a townsfolk, is you need a way of creating hot water. With hot water, you can have a decent enough life. If you've got water at all, clean water, that's another bonus. But if you've got a way of making it hot, then you've got an okay life, because you can make hot water, you can make, you can keep yourself warm, you can make food and cook food with it.
Right, and I suggest keeping a magnifying glass on you at all times. Matches, yes, are okay, but a sturdy magnifying glass to help create some sort of heat for water, cooking, what have you.
Yes, that's in if we've got some sunlight. I mean, it might be very cloudy, and London is notoriously cloudy. There's other ways of making fire. One way is to have magnesium. You can actually buy blocks of magnesium that you scrape off with a piece of Stanley knife or a hacksaw blade, and you scrape off the lumps, and then you have a little sparker that will then ignite the magnesium. That will really quickly start a fire, no matter what the weather.
Burn very bright, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's ways, and survival shops and camping shops. I mean, it's just like camping, but it's kind of, instead of it being a holiday, it's like all the time. But
it's one of those things. It's one of those things I like to throw in as well. And I think it's an important thing to know, you know, really quickly. And I've done this on the show before as well. You know, you're going to have some people that are going to be listening to this and going to be going, "Oh my God, these guys are crazy to talking about these things." And you know, it's not going to happen, or they're speaking about it so much, you know, they're going to make it happen, they're going to manifest it happen. I just want to put it out to people there that, you know, we most of all would prefer these particular, you know, events not to happen, but they are imminent because of the system that, you know, that we are living in. And there's a lot of particular things which are, you know, everything is coming to a head. So in saying that this is not an act or, you know, kind of like a show where we are kind of spreading that particular, you know, the fear-based material. We are dealing with them now. We are dealing with what is, you know, all around us. And a lot of these things we've talked about, you know, exclusively amongst each other, you know, and in the Wolf Pack as well. We've talked about it kind of so much. We've joined a lot of dots, like, you know, like a lot of other truth seekers have done as well. We've done the research and the background work. So it's just not one of those cases where we're just kind of pointing the bow and arrow and we're like, look, we're going to force this information down and, you know, down your throat. But the simple fact is that things flip on their side tomorrow. I mean, to give you one example, back in 2008 in London, not a very, very well-known story, but there was one particular point in the city during the big recession that started in September, October 2008, that all of the ATMs in London, in the city of London and around, they were within 30 minutes of having no more money in their automated teller machines in the bank ATMs.
When was that?
Now, can you? That was back in 2008. All right. And I will double check that with Marty. And that is a very serious event that people didn't know about. You know, you do kind of have people going, oh, well, bank machine isn't working, or there's a glitch. And it kind of happens to it, like, you know, a small group of them. I've experienced that before.
Yeah, well, you get that at the bank holidays, yeah. You know.
It can happen where it's like there's a lot of them that are out of service. But can you imagine all of them going out of service at the same time, just having no money for people? It's quite a thought. So things can shift very, very quickly. I just wanted to really get that in, because just like I was saying at the start, some people are going to be like, you guys are talking a load of kind of fear-based nonsense. We'll just deal with it when it happens. It's you know, it's the sage old advice that says prepare, do not predict. Yeah, I'll just leave it there with what I was saying about that.
Well, right, and I would like to add really quickly, Chris, that for the folks listening, this is definitely not fear-based. This is not fear-mongering at all, folks. Like Chris said, we've done research, we've paid attention, and we also have to remember that, yes, there are things that we can call to us and we can manifest our realities, but we are here to learn, first and foremost. This planet is a big school. And I, for one, still want to graduate. But there are things that are not within our realm and or our grasp to control. There are outside forces that are controlling how people are living right now. And it's just going to be a matter of time before we are forced to take responsibility for ourselves and our own actions and take our power back and learn how to live from here on out, because things are changing, and they're changing quite quickly.
Good. Right. Well, listening, I have a track. It was my old band that I was in with my ex-girlfriend. So the band is MHB Murray Hall Band. And this is a track called Global Recession. I thought it would kind of just cheer everybody up here.
Sounds good to me.
So here we are, the Murray Hall Band, Global Recession. I just realised I didn't have that faded up. I'm sorry, people. We'll just give you that again. I'll go back to the beginning and let's start this one more time. And let's stick it in the stream. Stream this time. Sorry about that. Global recession. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for your patience there. That was Maria Hall Band's Global Recession. That probably will never be published, really. It was probably the only time you'll ever hear it. Not in that form, anyway. It was recorded about 3 years ago. But yes, I thought it might be quite appropriate. Global recession. And welcoming back, we also welcome Dave Corso and Brian Internocio, who are currently in Pahrump, Nevada. So welcome, Dave and Brian.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you,
JP. So, let's talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that's all natural healing.
Yes.
The creator of this planet, in his infinite valid wisdom, has placed natural supplements that can cure anything man can dream up. And if anyone out there thinks that big pharmaceuticals are on your side, they're not. They're as much on your side as your country's medical association, because what they're doing, they're teaching people who call themselves medical doctors, who like to think they're minor gods in their own right, only how to treat symptoms, not treat causes. And there are 1,000 sites that you can go to, like Dr. John Waterman, Google, you know, Google natural healings, and what you're going to find is going to be mind-boggling. I personally am using all natural supplements, particularly blue-green algae, from two sources. One is Logistics. The other one is Progressive Laboratories. And I was using another company whose name I will not mention, who's a multi-level marketing scam, and is my concern. But I've gotten more results from Emerson and Progressive products in 1 week than I got 5 being using the other company's products. I can feel such a difference in my leg and my foot because I have this mysterious disease called blood clotting in one limb, for which the doctors have some name about 47 syllables long. I says, what can you do about it? They says, well, in 3 or 4 months, they're going to have a medicine out for that. And I said, don't bother. This is why, because I'm using an all-natural supplement that's working. I mean, the axillary arteries in my foot and my right leg are open up, which means my foot is getting enough blood flow. I'm not going to worry about gangrene. But it is also taking care of the massive blood clot that was in a bypass artery that blocked up in a month. So that tells me that they weren't treating the symptom like they were only treating, they were treating the symptom and not the cause. And I'm to the point in my life where if a doctor says, you have this, like, how do you treat the cause, not the symptom? And they look at you with that deer eye and have that look like, and I said, you don't know, do you? I said, you're not a god. You're just a damn human being who's passing himself off as a minor god in your own mind. I said, you're 62. Why do I look better than you when I'm 70? Because you take your own medicine. You tried to put me on Coumadin, which is what? Oh, that's warfarin. Oh, that's rat poison. You want me to put a rat poison in my body as a blood thinner? I don't think so. You have to do your own research, folks, because the American Medical Association and the Food and Drug Accomplices, I mean the FDA, have made it where, even though they know how things can cure cancer, like walnuts, asparagus, and about 47 other substances, they're not allowed to sell that, because if they do that, then it's classified as a drug. Is that not absolutely, absurdly insane? I ask you to think about that. All natural supplements are available to cure any disease man can dream of, including this nightmare H1N1 and its various variants. They'll also protect you from little things like chemtrail droppings, which are barium, aluminum, copper, which they use in conjunction with HARP, blood products, H1N1, and among other things they're spraying. Just do your research, folks. If you want a good search, you can go to duckduckgo.com. It doesn't track you. And it searches Google and all the other search engines.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, Dave. I just wanted to add on to that. I mean, in kind of, you know, golden age / new civilization, you know, there may be, you know, quite a few people that will not have a lot of money. A well-known fact. And what would you guys think? Well, yourself, Dave, what could people do, you know, apart from research, if they can't afford these particular supplements? What can they do for themselves in terms of, you know, healing, moving forward, supplementing their bodies, their minds, taking care of themselves in kind of in every way possible? What do you think they can do about that?
They can make friends with native tribes around you.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me, or that brings us, to a very interesting subject, which Brian is researching at the moment, I happen to know, and that is the native human of the planet Earth, which is known as a Moabite. Tell us more about this, Brian. What have you found out so far?
In a nutshell, to break it down for most people, because it gets very technical very fast, you have a thing called a UCC-1 document. What this allows you to do is it allows you to declare to the federal government and to the United Nations of the world that you are a sovereign being and you are only trialed under common law. That means it exempts you from criminal courts, civil courts, yet you retain your benefits and your rights as a through the humanitarian rights as a citizen of Earth and not of their corporations, which people know as a country. And what that does is basically it makes it that you can reside anywhere you want in the world, and if they ever try and label you for any kind of criminal or civil charges, you can have your case brought to any court where a judge in any country will be willing to listen to your case and rule it under common law. So basically, this gives the people the opportunity to free themselves from the system legally through the form that you have to fill out. For people that don't understand what a UCC is, it's basically a commercial code, universal commercial code, that is assigned to you at birth. And what that is on your birth certificate, on your driver's license, those kind of documents and cards, you have a filing number with your country, aka your corporation, which states that on Wall Street, you are worth minimum $100 million. And the reason why is because most people don't know that they have something called a straw man. A straw man is a fictional character, in my opinion. It's a fictional virtual version of yourself, which is recorded under their federal laws, okay? Which means if my name, for example, is Brian Internacia, it's supposed to be a capital B and lowercase for the rest of my name, and then a capital I and lowercase for the rest of my name. That is a sovereign being. That is who I am. However, them, the straw man, which they use, is what they basically incorporate as a business. Okay, your name becomes a business, and it's what you will find on your documents as all capital letters, your entire name. And what happens is with this name, they consider you a business, which is a profit for them to basically bargain and sell with amongst themselves. And so they're basically claiming that you are a corporate asset, or if you will, the more blunt term, you're a servant or a slave. Doesn't matter what race you are, other than the Moabite Nation, you are recognized as being a slave of this system.
But and so, sorry, Brian.
No, go on, JP.
What's the Moabite? Do you know anything about the Moabites? Who are they?
I don't know much about them because I have just recently come across this information. However, what I do understand on my own is being a Moabite is that it is the true first nation of the earth. It is the nation amongst which all human civilization is protected under for the humanitarian rights laws. Okay? It means that every single human that is considered a slave is a Moabite. Okay? We are native of this planet. And so we are all Moabite if we so decide to declare that we are. What happens is most people are unaware of this. Therefore, they are, you know, stuck in this paradigm, being a slave for their entire life, going to work, doing their 9-to-5s, paying taxes, being enslaved in a system where the rich get richer and the poor die. And if you wake up and you figure this out on your own or with the help of others, okay, because it gets very technical, like I said, you basically reclaim your power as a sovereign individual on this planet.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
And here is the most beautiful aspect of it. When you declare that you are a sovereign being, as a Moabite member of the nation, you have two representatives at the UN that are assigned this responsibility so that the bill is passed and that you do obtain your Moabite sovereign individuality, okay? It exempts you from all federal and provincial laws as well. And so what happens is they can no longer touch you. They can't arrest you. They can't do nothing unless they unless they bring you to court under common law. That is the only way any case can be actually put into courts. And this is something they don't want people to know, because if you find this out, well, then the asset, which is you, is no longer worth anything, and therefore the bankers lose profits.
In addition, the only way they can get you to a court of common law is if you've actually hurt somebody.
That's
because
right.
If there's no victim, there is no crime under common law. That's the true law. There's a difference between lawfulness and legality. Things that are lawful are lawful under common law, whereas legal can, you know, be any series of lies built one upon the other.
Right.
So,
and another thing that is very interesting is that the common law is part of the humanitarian rights, which is considered to be part of the universal laws. So as a galactic being, okay, on this planet, you can only be ruled by the laws of the universe and nothing else.
Yeah, it's like the common law of the galaxy.
That's right.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Brian. Very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how you get on with these researches, because you've got a very good mind for digging and finding these things out, and you have a vested interest in doing so as well. So that's going to be something to look forward to, folks, because Brian is looking into something that can benefit everybody here.
And I might add about the UCC documents, I got mine from the state of Nevada. Mm-hmm. It took me almost an hour to figure out where under Secretary of State's massive website these things were hidden. Mm. But as I was drawing it down, I found out you could also do the same thing with a corporation, with a company. And I have those documents, too.
Oh, I see. So you can have a global company.
Mm-hmm.
That is a Moabite company. How interesting.
Exactly. I haven't had a chance to really do a lot of research on that, but that's what I understand.
Wow.
Here's something I'd like to add to this for people that have children out there. For all you listeners that have children, or you know people that have children, there are these civil suits, lawsuits that you have to go through, you know, with divorce and separation and this and that and what have you. When you are declaring that you are a sovereign individual, so long as you are the blood parent, okay, the direct parent of this child, you can actually declare your child under you as being a sovereign individual and reclaim their sovereignty without them having to do it later on.
Very good. And what about things like passports? I did a bit. I interviewed somebody last year about the sort of international traveler's passport. What does one do about traveling abroad if one's a Moabite?
You have a worldwide passport. If you're on, my understanding so far of that is this. Even if you are on the no-fly list, they cannot stop you from flying, and you're not... I'm also going to go ahead and say I believe that TSA then cannot mess with you when you go through the American rope sessions.
Oh, lovely. So there's another bonus.
That's yeah.
In fact, it doesn't look like there's very much... that is a negative point on going Moab.
Well, the thing that's really beautiful is, like I was saying before, unless I didn't mention it, so I'll just say it again just in case. You retain all your rights and your benefits, no matter where you reside. Therefore, they cannot prevent you from having unemployment or welfare, because you need to be able to sustain yourself because you are a citizen of Earth.
All right.
It is their duty to see to it that you have what you need financially to be able to sustain yourself. A home is also included in that.
Yeah, and Brian,
go ahead, Roger.
Okay, thanks, Dave. With that, can you tell us a little bit about the guy who, and maybe Dave can comment, about the guy who actually has a debit card with $4,000 being accumulated to his account every day?
Things that happens once you become a sovereign individual, by following their rules, you do it because if they didn't have some way for us to do that, then what could be called a conspiracy, and they could be ruled outlawed in every country on the face of the earth. But they put a way in there for doing it, and this is taking this guy 4 years of filing claims and refiling claims and refiling claims, but the Federal of the United States sent him a debit card that's credited with $4,000. In his account, he had $2.2 billion with a billion dollars. $2.2 billion in his account. And I thought, gee whiz, I've had a Social Security account for 56 years. I wonder how many billions I got in mine. So I'm working on those two aspects of my life right now.
Lovely.
And I think I'll be working on the same.
That's a
Gwen Caldwell, who is an absolutely gorgeous Native American lady who's a friend of all of us, has a radio program, and she's telling you essentially the same thing we're talking. She goes into much greater detail. Let me see if I can find this. Where to go?
It is Orion Talk Radio. I think she's got a show coming up maybe later on this evening. Yeah. The Freedom Link Radio with Joe Joseph and Gwen Caldwell. So that should be something for all the listeners to check out.
Do you want to drop that in the chat room there, Chris?
Yes, of course. Yeah, just give me one sec.
I'm sending it right now into the other...
Actually, she's live on the air right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Whoops, there's a link.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oops.
That's right. Advertise another show. Oh, there is a link there, yeah. Advertise another show while we're on the air. There you go. Meanwhile...
Well, it's only posted on Facebook for everybody to see, so...
You can download Gwen's archive, and we'll post it in the blog on everbeyond.info. If you look at all the blogs, I'll put the links into Gwen Caldwell's site, and you can listen to her archive, because on Blog Talk Radio, and it's very easy to get archives from there. And so, yes, you have to be very good at arguing your common law. That's absolutely right.
There's an aspect of law that I wanted to just touch very briefly. I'm going to research it even more in depth. But for any people that, for example, get arrested, okay, where somebody claims that they've hit them or done anything to their physical being, but there is no actual evidence to support this claim, and they are then given temporary, and I do state the word temporary conditions by a police officer stating that they are not allowed to have any direct or indirect contact with that individual, and that law applies as well to the other individual because it is on both sides, to avoid any kind of mayhem.
Gee, can we apply that to police officers in this country?
Absolutely. the thing is on the paper that you are given, when they fill that out, when they arrest you and they hand you over the papers telling you that you are not allowed to have any contact whatsoever with that individual, there is a date that is printed on there that they sign with their own hand, okay? Once you go to court, if you have not filed your UCC document, then you have no choice but to go and present yourself to the criminal court because you made the mistake of accepting to represent your straw man. The second that they decide to tell you, okay, we are going to postpone the date to a further date for the trial or for the meeting so that they can decide if there will be a trial or not, if they did not give you a new paper telling you a new date regarding this contact and indirect contact issue, that means you are exempt of that law and they can no longer touch you and you can do what the heck you want. Because there, it basically becomes an expired contract.
Right. So you're finding out ways of finding what they call remedies for these draconian laws.
Fixing the cause and not the symptom.
That's right. So let's take it back to our civilization. So we got our next civilization coming up, and we want to do the better version, fix the bugs in our current civilization. One of the bugs that in our current civilization is that it allows psychopaths to take over control.
Absolutely, yes.
So our new civilization has to be kind of psychopath-proof.
To say the least.
I'm very much a fan of the Rainbow Circle, as the native Indians call it. It's the idea that you have a representative from all groups in the community. So, you know, you have an old person, you have a very young person, you have people who are involved in business, people who are involved in care, people who are involved in education, people who are involved in research and academia. And you bring all of those together, and that's your council. Rather than elected representatives, it's the representatives are self-selected by their communities, and people are recognized, I think, as well, that people's skills are recognized as to what they are and what they're good at, so that the appropriate person goes into the appropriate place.
Right. Now, that brings to light another aspect here. What's going to happen with all those people who are currently serving time in state penitentiaries, prisons around the globe? What happens with those people? They'll be released out into the public arena once again. How do we deal with those issues?
Shoot them.
I like your style.
One shot, one kill, baby.
Any other suggestions? No, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think it has to be that people are crazy because they've been lied to and they've been put into a pressurized situation. So, and it's like your human body, right? The human body is a marvelous thing, and it will get better if you stop harming it. And basically, most people who are ill are ill because they have a continual mental process which produces an emotional process which causes a physical process which restricts the amount of energy flow into the various organs which caused various diseases. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. So, mm-hmm. And Sherry, our good friend Sherry Edwards, mm-hmm. brought that out so clearly the last time she was on our shows respectively.
Yeah, and by the way, if anybody tunes into Free Thinking Radio at any time,
you'll probably be listening to one of Sari Edwards' shows, because I've put them in our schedule, because they're absolutely brilliant. I've just left them in the archives and left them running. So they, you know, they're repeated like once a day. It's quite good stuff. And so anyway, let's go back. So we're talking about healing. Christopher, you've been working with energetic healing, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. I work as a Reiki practitioner, and I not only treat myself, I practice and I do energy share healings with other people, and I firmly believe that, you know, this is one of the many fantastic alternative healing methods that are available out there now, and that will be definitely more prominent in the future, in helping us to move forward, to connect more to ourselves, to allowing us kind of more kind of flow in our lives as well, especially nowadays with the particular societies that we live in. I know for one thing, in London, it's just it's go. You know, I've seen, you know, kind of American friends, you know, coming to either Dublin or to London especially, and it's just so kind of fast that people are really kind of looking for things like to slow down, but just to kind of to have that same kind of fluidity there as well. And there's been an uptake more than ever on alternative therapies, healing remedies, etc. Definitely, I've noticed myself within, you know, even the past 2 years, 3 years, and as you said, Jeremy, I mean, you know, you're very near Findhorn. You're literally on top of, you know, Findhorn in Scotland, and you know, you can't really kind of go anywhere. And it's like they're like kind of Reiki masters, like kind of, you know, left, right, and center. So something is happening, and this is one of the ways in the future where we're going to be able to look after ourselves, kind of body, mind, spirit, soul, etc. And it is a great investment for somebody to look into, you know, having one of these kind of, you know, energetic kind of healing sessions, you know, once a month, or if it's every couple of months. But it is really a great investment in themselves, even if they were to learn the art form or the technique for themselves, to become attuned. There's so many ways to go about it nowadays.
My attitude is to always try to empower. So I would recommend people to at least get into Reiki to the first degree, because that will just show you how to open yourself up to universal energy that can heal yourself, your pets, your friends, your family, even those who don't believe it. And it basically connects you with your etheric body, which is the electrical, if you like, the etheric body is almost like the software that's running on your physical nervous system, computer network, it's like the operating system, and it's the electrical pulses that are transmitted through light by sound to your muscles and through these other places that sometimes if you it's almost like when you're watching a ballet dancer and they're pirouetting and spinning away, and it's almost like their body doesn't really exist. They're more like a floating cloud of energy.
The fluid.
That is fluid. And really, when you're talking about the chakras are spinning parts of this energy body that is like interpenetrating the world, the physical body, so it's like occurring there at the same time, but on a different level, much like the electricity that's moving through the loom in your car has nothing to do with the power situation within the engine, where there's no electrical situation, or on the body. Everything's confined to its own system.
And the etheric body is the electrical system, and we have chakras, which they call centers, they call chakras, which just means wheel. It's a Sanskrit word. It just means wheel, and that we have seven major of these centers in our body that runs from our head to our base at the bottom of the spine. It's essentially they're centers along the spine, there are centers that are called higher centers and centers that are lower centers, and those have different energy levels, and if one is out of balance, that it's not either not spinning right, or it's spinning the wrong way, or it's been it's been stopped from spinning, you know, there's some kind of spoke in the wheel, spanner in the wheel, whatever. Vortex is another word for it, yeah. And they spin out from the front of the body and out from the back of the body. That's where psychics can see them. But they generally happen to be connected with certain glands that occur, some in the brain, some in the body, and, you know, there's the heart and the solar plexus and the sacrum and all of these different chakras. And so what I'm getting to is that the earth has chakras, every race has chakras, every country has chakras, every group has chakras, and they are the same things as the representatives of the rainbow circle.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'd add on to that, JP, is that with everything going on, we are more than just meat slaves making, you know, kind of like the rich get richer. Well, a lot of people are doing that nowadays. We are a lot more than that. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and we must not, and I'll repeat that so hard and emphasize that, we must not forget about ourselves and our etheric bodies. We are essentially we are consciousness. I mean, I was watching a fantastic documentary earlier on by a guy called Peter Russell. If everybody just goes to YouTube and types in Peter Russell and just looks up for this conference, I think it's literally about an hour, 9 minutes, hour and 10 minutes, but it is just one of the best things that you'll see in terms of the explanation of, you know, what is consciousness and who we are. It's not a dummy's guide, but you will feel really good at the end of it, and it's tied in with mystics, with the mystical way of thinking and whatnot. But just going back to what I said, and just to hammer it out again, we must look beyond, let's use that word, we must look beyond the fact that we're not just kind of, you know, skin, muscle, bone, tendons, all this sort of stuff that is just designed to just, you know, to make money and kind of nothing more. We must look after our hearts, our minds, our physical bodies, our spiritual bodies as well. Because if something is askew, if something is out of touch, even if we have the most beautiful physical body, you know, with rippling muscles, and would have some, you know, kind of like reptilian entity or some sort of brain bug or some nasty astral entity kind of like sucking on us, which is not really kind of helping us along the way. So that really, you know, that is encompassing one of the things you were talking about, Jeremy. You know, it's one of, you know, we have living, healing, you know, kind of trading and communicating as well, healing with all of the changes around us as well as things are going along. This is kind of so important. And going back to what I was saying also about Reiki, it's very gentle, it's very natural, and it's one of those therapies where you can actually, you know, you can use it on yourself, and you can empower, and you can give it to others. Not only can you give it to others, you can give it to yourself as well. And there's not many therapies out there where you can do that, because, you know, a lot of psychiatrists, they need their own psychiatrists, psychologists need their own psychologists, etc., etc. But the beauty of Reiki is that you can also place your hands on yourself as well and allow that ki to run right through your body to help the vortices and to help your own chakras here. Because let's face it, everybody, I mean, we are hit by so many things on a day-to-day basis. And what Dave was saying earlier on about Shari Edwards is that we've these gifts, we've these nuggets of information, we've these gifts of people who have been around for so long now, giving us being messengers and giving us all this food for information. We've got, you know, Shari Edwards' program, which is online as well, where, you know, we speak into it. We can find out so many things about ourselves that can, you know, lead us towards a greater path of happiness inside and out as well, that it is really, you know, about high time that we really go for that, we grasp it as well, we try not to be kind of too afraid, because this stuff is really going to help us in the future as well. We can't take kind of one pill that is going to cure everything. It's not just one thing. There are many things out there which can help us lead a fruitful life. In terms of alternative therapies, you know, variety is the spice of life. So people should really jump in there and see the good stuff, what is available. I mean, it's not all about pharma. There's a lot of people who, you know, as Dave was saying earlier, they just want us to play into their hands and to give them a lot of money. It's like, well, fine, you go off, you take that, and that will kind of, yeah, that'll help you, that'll take the pain away. It's, yeah, we got to treat the cause and not the symptom. We've got to get to the root of the problem, you know, with the disease, with the dis-ease of what is going on, with the discourse. I think that's very important.
Something I'd like to add to what Chris is talking about and what JP is talking about. We're talking about energy, and a friend of mine has been showing me a couple of things regarding Tai Chi and how you can use the energy actually to balance yourself. It's not just about combat or anything. The art itself actually teaches you how to connect spiritually with your entire body. And there are 8 gates related to the body. Not just through lenses of your hands or your feet, but throughout the entire body, which basically absorb energy and release energy. And Tai Chi could be something that could be very helpful for many people because it allows them to release that negative energy and absorb only the purities that are necessary to heal the body. There's a small little portion here I'd like to read, if that would be okay with you, JP.
Sure.
It would give a nice description to what Tai Chi can offer some people as another medium other than Reiki. Or I would actually recommend that they do more than one thing, because there are, like we're saying, multiple ways to actually improve our energetic levels. It says here, Master Kuo referred to Tai Chi as Peng Qing, boxing, because without this energy there is no Tai Chi. Peng Qing is responsible for the attainment of awareness, larger in scope than the listening energy. Energy which allows one boxer to follow another boxer, and may ultimately lead to the attainment of spiritual perfection through the combined integration of internal energy and external martial arts. Although pervasive throughout the whole body, Peng Qi refers to 8 different uses of energy, chiefly utilized but not limited to the hands and upper body. These energies are Peng Qi, which is moving energy, source of the 8 gates. You have outward expanding energy, okay, which is what it is. You have Lu Qing, which is receiving and collecting energy, inward receiving into your body. You have Qi Qing, which is pressing and receiving energy. You have An Qing, which is downward pushing energy, so you can release the negative energies that are in your body. You have Cai Qing, which is grabbing energy. And then you have Lei Qing, which is striking energy. Also, in some literature on the subject, referred to as split, action, strike, result energy. Then you have Cho Qing, which is elbow striking energy. And finally, the last one, Cao Qing, which is full body striking energy. The last little bit I want to read is this part here. Peng, Lu, An, and Qi are the 4 primary energies. Peng and Lu are for evading. Peng is moving energy, also used in striking. And Lu is collecting energy, also used in reversing. An and Qi are for adhering. A forward, downward pressing energy. Qi is pressing, receiving energy, more often than not, a provoking energy. These are the main qualities used in push hands.
Moving energy is the skill of change. Receiving energy is the skill of striking. Collecting energy is the skill of pulling, and striking energy is the skill of attack. So I've provided the link there. Maybe you may want to actually post it on your blog so people can read more into it. It's very fascinating what they have here, and it's something that I've been getting into because I'm somebody that has slowly begun embracing both my temper and my passivity and combining it and basically, you know, centering myself and becoming one complete individual. And what Tai Chi has basically allowed me to do is basically relax and expand my awareness of all the energies around me when I'm doing this out in nature. I usually do this in a park because it's a pure state of mind and set to be doing this, because you're surrounded by flowers, by birds, by the wind. You're surrounded by the sun, the grass, the trees, everything is there. So this is very balancing for people and very healing.
So I just want to have a quick, I just want to do a bit of entomology here, because is it entomology? Is that, no, or it might be etymology. Let's just talk about the words, right? There's Tai Chi, there's Qigong, and there's Reiki, and Aikido, which, and Do is the way, you know, so, and I, it's interesting, I in Japanese is love, so is this love energy way, Aikido, I don't know, but also we have Ki and Chi mean the same thing, it also, the same word applies to Orgon, or the same definition applies to Orgon. That's all the same stuff, and we can channel it with our hands. You know all these whistleblowers and everybody, they say, you don't know how amazing you are, you human beings, you know. But they never tell us exactly in what way we're amazing, right? But
absolutely,
these masters who have spent lifetime and lifetime gathering up and generating the very small amounts of chi that have been available to us up until this time. And I think what, you know, the idea is forming in my head that we've been talking about an ascension, an improvement, humanity 2.0, the organic free-range style, that has some kind of superpower. Now, I believe that what's going to happen is that the amount of chi on the planet is going to increase, either from collisions with stars or Elenins, brown dwarfs. I don't care, because really what the effect is that we will become cleansed, we'll have, you know, all the fear wiped away from us, and be empowered in a true, powerful way, that our chakras will all work in the right way. And it's because everything's been kind of backwards and upside down, and that's because the planet's been spinning the wrong way. Our planet should be spinning the right way, spinning the opposite way than it does.
And it's really interesting, because there's a lot of Native American tribes here in the country.
Yeah,
that I have talked to, and they say that in their tribal legends, this planet used to revolve the other way.
Yes. I thoroughly agree. And it's very, very interesting, because Brian did a logo banner thing. And it had the sun coming up on the right and setting on the left. And it's not how it is according to observation, because when you're looking at the sun, it's always going to go from the left to the right. And I believe that not so long ago, something more like 3,500 odd years ago, the planet did spin in the opposite direction, about the time that the end of the main dynasty of Egypt, and I believe that this is the time of the Exodus, that we had a collision that brought us into an opposite rotation. And
interesting.
And that the ancient languages, like Hebrew and Sanskrit were written in the days before the planet went round the other way, and they go right to left. Whereas modern languages like English and French and Latin and all that stuff go from left to right as the sun goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the Hopi prophecies are correct, and that we're going to experience a change in rotation.
I think I'd like to add to that, JP, is in my understanding of energy and rotation, if you look at a clock, it's going clockwise. I would actually think that, you know, the clock should be moving the opposite direction, counterclockwise. And the reason why I'm saying this is because when you something the way it is, okay, clockwise, you're actually lowering the vibration, whereas if you're doing it counterclockwise, you're raising the vibration. And so if the planet is spinning in the wrong direction, it's suppressing and it's preventing us from tapping into our higher energy capabilities, and it's a constant struggle trying to get there because it's kind of like walking with a limp.
Yeah, we're in the backwards world.
That's right.
And
so it's to their advantage.
Yeah.
For now.
So, yeah, you know, to their advantage. And now, I think it's going to change. I think this is one of the things that's going to be a factor in our evolution, that it's going to really cause a lot. You know, people who are completely stuck in the ground, they're going to have a lot of trouble. And I'm sorry, we've tried our best.
That's right.
You know.
Yes, we have, and I lost a supposed friend over some things, as a matter of fact. So there are people, you know, it doesn't matter how you put the information out there for them, you can draw in red crayon, they're still not going to let it process.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not.
You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. Mm-hmm. Same thing, you know, that's with a horse or other animal, but it's of human. But unless they can resonate with it and understand it, you might as well be peeing in the wind.
Pretty much.
So, our future society will be on a planet that spins the other way.
What's it going to cause it to spin the other way is the question.
Well, let's say something big. Let's say something magnetic. I believe that Elenin is a very small thing, but there's something else. In fact, there's a few more things. There's a lot of stuff, really.
Yeah, Elenin's a very small.
It's according to lots of sources, it's a ship. Now, it may be a piece of space debris that was hanging out in the Kuiper belt that they've sent in. Oh, yeah. Wow. Swerdlow was talking about some stuff the other night as well, wasn't he? About, wasp people. Now, that was pretty bizarre. That there are beings that are like enormous wasps. Intelligent beings like wasps. How do they build ships? They got little hands. I don't know. Anyway. By the way, it looks like we're going to have a new host on our shows. And it looks like on a Monday night, we're going to have the Stuart Swerdlow Show. Midnight.
Really?
UK time, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
And Stuart has a large amount of very, very interesting and deep information. Like many of us, drawn out from the well of pain and suffering, but altogether a very interesting gentleman indeed.
JP, I want to bring something up that you're very familiar with, and I thought maybe it would be nice that we can throw this into this show because it relates to the whole healing process.
Go ahead,
of the individual on a DNA level, reconstructing your DNA without having to do the minimum effort to get the maximum effect. Which we in our group like to call MEM, or Mimi, when we like to have fun.
Memes.
Yes, memes. The sound frequency that you can basically convert your music to a certain sound frequency and listen to it all day, and just having the sound traveling, you know, into your ear, and you've been picking it up and everything, it actually heals the body. Could you maybe like shed some light on that?
This is going back to Shari Edwards' work, that everybody yep. has their own signature sound frequency, which is essentially, you know, it's like we all have our own radio station. We've all got our own internet IP number. It's almost like a frequency. It's a series of numbers. And so, yeah, and like our birth certificate as well. You know, it's a series of numbers. And that frequency is us. And presumably they have technology that can measure it as well as we can. But let's just assume that we're able to take some of Shari Edwards' information and her software, which is available on www.nanovoice.com. And on that page, you can download a piece of software that runs on Windows. And what it does is to measure the frequencies that are available in the voice as it's spoken. And it takes a series of 500 samples, and you can find out what your frequency is, what your predominant frequency is. And also, the amazing thing is that this software is able to decode traits and abilities and behaviors from this frequency. So then, once you know your frequency, it's possible to plug that frequency into a perhaps a composing machine or something like that, you know, a multi-track sequencer or something like that, and you can tune it so that everything's in the particular frequency band. I could offer that service. You could by finding out what a person's frequency is, and then extracting the key from that, and detuning or a-tuning a particular favorite piece of music, and you could make that particular recording reflect your main frequency, which will help to revibrate you as you. Does that answer your question?
That absolutely does. Thank you.
Shifting. 20 minutes. Who's typing? Speak.
Me.
Oh, Dave. Federal Reserve. Oh, Guanca. Right, okay. All right. Excellent. So, yes, money and the future of money. Let's have a quick look at that.
JP, could you explain about the LETS, the LETS that you guys have going on in Scotland? I don't know too much about that, and I'm sure the listeners would really like to hear about that. And, you know, and bartering and just alternative currencies. I think that would be really, really great information to get out there.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you, Chris. Mm. When you have a community, you need to be able to have various services perform for you that you can't do for yourself, or you won't do for yourself, like sewage or washing or things like that. And so within a community, it's possible to create a trading system that I do something for you and somebody does something for me, and between those two events, there's some kind of token that is exchanged that says I've got this amount of credit in my system. And I think we were talking about it earlier on. It's like you can do it for hours worked, or you can set a rate and say, you know, 5 units of currency is worth such and such. Oh, that's right. It's Clay Douglas was talking about that. And so,
yes,
within each community, you have a group, and the group trades with each other. It's very difficult when you've got a group of people for anybody to be like non-resident, because these are credits that build up if you've been there, and if you leave town, particularly if you leave town with a debt. Or you're owing commitment to the system, let's say, that messes it up. That messes the whole thing up. So it works best with people who are fixed, unless you have some kind of international global connection system between the LETS systems. And that has, you know, here you go, folks. Nobody knows much about this, but I actually wrote one of those. As that I wrote a Let system for Let systems, because the database could kind of replicate itself sort of upwards. So you could have a Let system that exchanged with other Let systems, and they had a protocol to talk to each other. But you need to have agreed protocols on every level, and not everybody's token is going to be worth the same. You know, we had some tokens that were worth 50p, 50 cents, or they were worth, one of them was worth like 6 to the pound, which was a ridiculous number to work with, you know, but well, we managed to frig the system so it worked. But yeah, so I've written a database to run a Let system with, to administrate a Let system. And it does all the things that you need to have. For instance, you have offers and wants between the different members, and it can collate and print out reports that are classified adverts. And it also has the ability to create statements and reports, statements for people's account levels. And we do a globally published a list of people, so the member list that has all the people's account details. You know, it's completely open, so everybody knows how much everybody's got. You can see that, you know, if you want to tap someone, you go to somebody who's got a big balance and say, "Can I do some work for you?" It's and it works, and it really works by being open like that. It gives everybody an ability to be helped without even having to be asked.
Mm.
You know, because generally people with lots of lets have done lots of work and need lots of help, and there are people who really know how to work these systems, and we've been training them up. We could probably send one of our members out to another Let system in order to train them out how to work it. But again, it's based around the Rainbow Circle. We have representation from all groups in the community, and the whole software is based around that Rainbow Circle. Even even using the software, there's a circle of different colored circles. So, for instance, to go to the member information, you click on the yellow circle. To go to the currency exchange, you go to the green circle, etc. So each of the it has a kind of holographic feel to it. That once you understand how it works, the software and the system become symbiotic. It just takes all the hard work away from it. So that's an explanation of what Sam does. And Sam, hey, Sam was the name we came up with, because what happened was I thought, I wonder what I'm going to call this. Let's choose something boring like local exchange system, local exchange trading system administration manager. I thought, that's a really dull name. And then I looked at the initials of that, and it says LETSAM, Let Sam. And suddenly it just came to life, you know, because it's, you know, Sam, let Sam do this. So Sam was the name of the database. Meanwhile, that's how we developed it, and it developed organically over a couple of years, but that's how we wrote the software. And in doing that, we created a software system and a Let system that could be reproduced. This was the idea that we had, is rather than having one huge monolithic Let system that ran over the entire north of Scotland and we were completely all-powerful founder members, the idea was that we would create our system and it would be viewed as a great model for the rest of people, and they would come queuing at our doors and knocking on our doors and saying, "We want to have Sam too." And so we would roll out Sam systems to everybody and, you know, stick it on a laptop and make it work for everybody, and then everybody would be able to intertrade and and communicate with each other and create the new Northern Scotland local exchange token system, and then it can spread all over the world and everybody can exchange with each other and it become the world's first alternative money system. But it never happens. It didn't happen. No, that was our dream. But you never know. It may be something that would happen over the next few years as we have trouble with our own economic system. What do you guys think?
I think it would flourish very well in Tottenham right now, JP.
Right, but you also are going to need the internet in some way, shape, or form, yes?
No, it can be done with Sneakernet.
Okay.
Sneakernet, for those not understanding what I just said, is a sneakers. You put a disc in your hand, you put on your sneakers, you go to your neighbor, and you put the disc in their computer.
There you go.
Sneakernet. Yeah, we wrote it in the days when we didn't have memory sticks and too much internet. Although we've made it network, it does work on the internet. It creates emails. You can also squirt things out, because I'm a low tech fan. You know, if the internet goes down, I can still function, even with computers, because I do things on computers even if they don't connect to other things. And I write my software with that in mind, that it's possible to use even if the net went down, even if all you had were floppy disks, or, you know, at the worst case scenario, to print out pieces of paper and transfer things across like that. It's all, you know, we're able to create protocols that allows transfer of credit from one LET system to another, even if you only had pieces of paper.
That's really cool. Very nice. So that basically you're making the software basically supports all like downgraded technology, is what you're saying?
It runs on Office 97.
Wow, okay.
We wrote it on Office 97. It was the best bit of software, you know. Access 97 was the best bit of software Bill Gates ever produced, and he hasn't done anything good since.
Could I recommend something regarding that, JP?
What's that? Go on.
Has the thought ever crossed your mind to actually write this using OpenOffice, because it's an open source software?
The thought has crossed my mind, but I'd need about 4 months of Sundays.
Oh, okay.
You know,
and we may not have that much time.
We may not have that much time. However, I'd be very happy if somebody wanted to take it on and port it.
I can give that a try.
Brian, as if you haven't got enough to do.
But there's a conversion process in OpenOffice that can do that for you.
Possibly. But yes, that would be the ideal, that you have an Ubuntu system that has a version of LetSam that runs on base, which is the OpenOffice version of Access. Meanwhile...
I have all that.
Meanwhile... at our new civilization. So we've got our trading systems, we've got our medicine, we're using vibrational medicine, we're using naturopathic medicines, we use color. We haven't mentioned the light boxes yet, but basically there are LED light boxes that can do a lot of good healing things.
They are marvelous.
Dave has one. I have I say I have one, but it's currently somewhere. I don't know. It's been lent to a friend of a friend now, somebody who's got Parkinson's and motor neurons disease, and see if it's had any effect. It certainly works to help alleviate the pain and nervousness of MS for some people. It's being used to detox mercury toxicity. There's some amazing things that can be done with this little light. That's another thing, like future things, but basically here's the secret: 660 nanometers. You can buy LEDs, little light emitting diodes, from your Radio Shack or Maplins, depending on what country you're in. They're very cheap, and you just need to wire them up to some kind of power support, power source, like a battery or a little transformer, and you can make yourself a light that heals.
and they work.
Yes. So, we have 6 minutes to go. Any final words on our future civilization?
I would have some. I would say that people need to look at their children in their eyes, and they need to remember what it was like to be in their place, in their shoes at that time, so that they remember why we're doing this, so that in the future these children have a place to stay and that they will actually benefit from the legacy we leave to them.
Excellent, Brian. Absolutely excellent. And also, I would like to reiterate what I said. Do your own research, folks. If you think we're blowing smoke in the air, that's up to you. If you think we're here to help you, which we are, then take our advice and do your own research on the subjects we've talked about.
What Dave said umpteen times, underlined infinite times, yes.
what all of the guys said, and just to add on to that, I mean, it's just to people got to wake up, get real. And there's a lot of crap that's going on, but it can be changed. The only thing constant is change. So we got to roll with that, and we got to look after ourselves as best we can, and others as well. And I think whatever that we're hit with, we're going to ride it out really, really well. Probably a lot better than we think. And as good old Cliff High says, well, that's really when the party begins. That is really when we can get down and party, when we kind of you know, eventually ride this particular thing out after it's rough. So as Samuel L. Jackson would say in Jurassic Park, before the park officially opens on his computer, hold on to your butts. with a cigarette in his mouth. Yeah. And JP.
Guys, it has been a pleasure and a treasure and a delight to be with you all today.
Ditto.
And JP, I'd like to thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us and joining me. It's better. I like to talk to people. I don't like to talk to nothing. I know it's like I'm talking. I like to talk at people. I like to talk with people. That's mainly the thing. It's been a very interesting conversation this evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
And next Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. on my radio show, which you will find at davecorso.blogspot.com, I'm going to have a very interesting guest who I had on 2 years ago named Bobby Bernay. And she is going to be behind a 24-hour around-the-world drum circle on the 19th of September. So tune in then, folks, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, davecorso.blogspot.com, for much more information.
Oh, Dave, you're getting professional at this.
Thank you.
Roger?
A lovely plug.
Yes?
You want to plug your radio station?
Well, it's still a work in progress, folks. We are working on that now. It is called Maxim Axiom Radio, and you can find that at maximaxiom.com. We are currently working on that here we find time to do so. There's going to be much information to share, many links to check upon, and the 1 gigabyte of information that I was speaking about earlier on in the show, dealing with survival aspects when things go to hell in a handbasket. You know. So we have a lot planned, folks. It's just a matter of lining all our ducks up in a row to hit them all down, you know, in all at once. But at this point in time, it's going to have to be one at a time, because we all have much going on in our private lives, so to speak.
Brian, do you have a website?
Yes. Oh, yes. You guys can find me at shinedownstudios.com. I'm a freelancer. I produce, I direct, and I also design entire productions on my own. So I'm a one-man show. I'm available to work on projects with people that have like minds and ideas for a better future in this world.
And Chris?
I have absolutely nothing. Yes. But if you'd love a chat, get in touch with JP, and yeah, we'll have a cup of tea. Come down and see me in London. What more can I say?
Don't forget www.thriveonfood.com, folks. That's www.thriveonfood.com. Come check us out. Email us at info@thriveonfood.com if you have any questions.
Thank you very much, everybody. And good night.
Thank you, JP.
From ever beyond.
Thank you, JP.
Beyond, 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 beyond.